As we begin this evening, I'd like to read from a few words of Jesus's birth, the story of his birth. We'll read them again here in a few moments, but here are a few words from the Gospel of Luke. The scriptures say there was no place for them in the inn. There were shepherds out in the field, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." I assume that these words are familiar to many of you, and because they are familiar and well known, we can often move past them and not really hear and understand all of that which they are trying to tell us, telling us at least who it is that should be celebrating on Christmas Eve like we are this evening. And not only who, but how. How it is that we should go about celebrating if that's what we would do tonight. There's many emphases here, but I want to point one of them out to you. And one of those emphases is where we find the celebrants of the first Christmas. And we don't find them inside. Mary and Joseph, they were not inside the inn with any of the rest of the people of Bethlehem. They were outside because there was no place for them. And also the shepherds too. They were out in the fields, not inside. In none of the places that all of the rest of the people of Bethlehem were. And that detail of where the celebrants were, it's not to be overlooked. And it's also not to simply be read in a literal fashion only. But we're to hear it speaking figuratively. We're to hear it speaking spiritually. We're to hear it speaking morally and even socially. Because you may know that shepherds, or maybe you don't, but shepherds, they were not actually even allowed to testify in courts of law in the Roman Empire because they were not considered credible witnesses. They had laws preventing them because they were regarded as unethical people, as not people to be trusted, as unscrupulous and even immoral, uneducated, dirty, smelly, low-class people that no one would listen to. But God sends his angels to them, to be the ones to whom they would tell about Jesus's birth. And they would be the ones who would first tell others about Jesus' birth as well. So why? Why them? Why the shepherds, these outsiders, these outside people? Why would they be the first celebrants at Jesus' birth? Well, maybe another story can help us answer that question of why them. In 2008, the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series for the first time in a number of years. And there was a 5'8", 240-pound, 42-year-old, unemployed, suburban Philadelphia man who was there when they won. His name was Mike Rodia, but his friends called him Lionel because he was much like a lion. He's this type of man that always pushes into the place where he wants to be. He's a hard man to stop, and that night on which the Phillies won the World Series was no different. The series was in Game 5, and the Phillies were up 3-1, so one more victory, and they are World Series champs. And Lionel was sitting at the left field foul pole when in the sixth inning, with the game tied 2-2, the heavens opened, and it began to rain and rain and rain so much that they had to postpone the game for two nights later. And so Lionel, getting his rain check, he came back, but he was not content to sit at the left foul pole. Instead, he decided to sneak into the very swanky Diamond Head Club section right behind home plate, and he did. And when he got in there, he called his friend, his wealthy friend named Tom Millison, because he had seats in that section. Tom was on the fifth row just off of home plate, and he called him and he said, "Look over your right shoulder just a few rows back." And there was Lionel grinning and waving to him from these stolen seats. And about that point, the nearly miraculous begins to happen. Because right as the Phillies are about to win, down the aisle walks a giant 6'8" man, huge man in a suit, and he appears to be walking out onto the field. So Lionel decides he's going to follow this man, and he's going out on the field too. The Diamond Head Club was not enough. He's going down there, and he does. He walks right behind this man into the Tampa Bay dugout, which was empty except for a number of other men in suits, including Bud Selig, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And as soon as the giant body guard man got down there with Lionel. They all walked out into the field, and Lionel went out there with him. And as soon as he gets out on the field, the bat boy, in celebration, is throwing around T-shirts that read, World Series Champions, throws one to Lionel. He puts it on, and then there's a Hawaiian woman running around the field, putting leis around people's necks. It's Shane Victorino's mother, a Hawaiian lady, and she's putting leis on people, and Lionel says, I need one. And so she puts a lei around him, and then immediately he runs to the pitcher's mound, and again he calls Tom. And this time he says, look out onto the field. And there, 240 pounds, 5'8", looking nothing like a baseball player, but dressed like one, is Lionel, waving his hands. And then he begins to hug and to celebrate with all the rest of the baseball players. They run into the clubhouse, and Lionel goes with them into the clubhouse. He grabs champagne, and he's squirting champagne over all of the rest of the baseball players. You can even go and watch this footage on YouTube. Google Lionel. There are the Phillies, and there he is in the midst of it all, squirting champagne on multi-million dollar athletes as if he was the closing pitcher of the last game, like he belonged there, bathed in champagne. And then Tom Millison, he gets another phone call, but this time it's not from Lionel, it's from a friend watching TV, and he says, I swear I just saw Lionel in the clubhouse celebrating with the players, but that couldn't be, could it? And Tom Morrison had to say, oh yes, it could be. Because it was Lionel. And I tell you that story because, friends, things like that happen in our world. Something just like that happened on the night in which Jesus was born. It happened to the shepherds because they didn't deserve to be where they went. They did not deserve to be at the manger, at the feeding trough in which Jesus, God's son, the baby whose name is Emmanuel, God with us, was laid. They did not deserve to be in his presence at all. If you read the rest of the scriptures, time and time again, different prophets, different people have visions of God in heaven. One of them was the prophet Isaiah. He didn't actually go into the presence of God. He just had a dream about it. And when he dreamt about it, there were angels, and they were singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. And the angels, with two wings, they flew, and with two wings, they covered their eyes and they covered their feet because the angels didn't deserve to be in his presence, much less the prophet Isaiah. So he says, woe is me. Woe is me that I'm here because I'm a man of unclean lips and I belong to a people of unclean lips. But the shepherds say nothing like that here on the first Christmas Eve, nothing like that. There are no words of woe because the angels sang to them and told them that this was a good news of a great joy, which will be for all people, them included. So the reason for the lack of the words of woe that evening, because what we celebrate tonight in the incarnation is God's coming to all of us to welcome all of us who don't belong. So if you're here tonight, welcome. You don't belong here. None of us belong here in the presence of God, worshiping his son whom he has sent. In other words, we're the people that there's no room for. But not here on earth, but in his kingdom. We're the people who should be out in the field. But God has come to us. He has sent his son who was born to us, who lived for us, who died for us, who rose again, who ascended into heaven, that any of us that might believe in him and follow him might be a part of the ultimate and final celebration. We might be brought in when Jesus will return. And so the call, the offer to all of us this evening is to actually rejoice, is to actually celebrate and rejoice that Jesus has come and he will come again for us, but to celebrate like outsiders who have been brought in. Because those who know that they were the furthest out, they celebrate the most being brought in. And that's true of us all. It's a good news of a great joy that is for all people, even you, even me. Jesus later would say, he who has been forgiven much loves much. It's also true that those of us who know that we were far out, that we can celebrate tonight being welcomed, regardless of how far off we were. And the further you were, the more you'll celebrate. So tonight what we're going to do, even now, is we're going to read the story of Jesus, beginning all the way back in Genesis, tracing it all the way through the scriptures. You have a part. your part to read the various passages with us, that's you celebrating. And your part singing, that's you celebrating. Lighting the candles, holding them high as we will do later, that is you celebrating. So welcome. It is a privilege to have all of you here tonight with us. Let me pray for us briefly. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would give us the grace to celebrate as those who once were far off but who have been brought near through your Son being sent to us, being born of a human mother to make the way of the cross to be the way of life. May it be a way of life for us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.